Prepare for launch. The Inertia Force Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast starts now with your host, Manny A.
What's happening, Force listeners? I am back for another episode, and I want to congratulate everybody before I continue here. We crushed yesterday. That is the fifth 15-gamer we have smashed out. So congratulations to everyone who placed high on FanDuel and on DraftKings, and we will continue to do so. And money is money, and money makes us happy. So looking at today, I'm going to look over the 9-game slate, give you my thoughts on each game as to who I think you should and shouldn't target, a little bit of info on each pitcher, and as well, I'm going to touch up just a hair on this very little bit of action we have in soccer. So jumping right into this, we have the New York Mets versus the Phillies, and we have it's Nick Pivetta versus Jason Vargas. Listen, Vargas has been a lot better this year than he's ever been. And a lot of that is simply because he's improved his numbers, surprisingly. He's still not very good versus righties. He's substantially better this year versus lefties. He has an extremely low home run to fly ball rate at 5.9%. And he hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs this entire season. So typically a spot we would like to stack against him, I'm not going to, just because he's just pitching better. And looking at all of his numbers, there's not really regression coming. He's been pretty consistent. And like I said, he's still really bad versus righties. So if you did want to play even a one-off, I think Rhys Hoskins is a really good one-off. He's got a 681 WOBA plus ISO at a 47.8% card contact rate. And even if you want to go lefty on lefty, Bryce Harper obviously is profiling really, really well. And Scott Kingery is probably the last guy that I would pick from the Phillies. Him actually projecting the best out of all the Phillies batters. He has an outrageous 64.5% hard contact rate. So that kind of tells you all how well he's been hitting lefties. So probably those are the only three guys I'd be interested in. Other than that, I don't think I'm going to touch anybody else. I'm pretty happy with, like I said, kind of avoiding stacking against Vargas. I'm not too interested. Looking on the other side, we have Pivetta here, and look, Alonso has been he's been out of this world. He's just slugging everything. His exit velocity, his barrels and everything, and all those other stats that people love to look at, they're eye-popping for sure. And it's granted, the guy's seeing the ball really, really well right now. He's got a 388 WOBA with a 318 ISO versus right-handed pitching. The only thing with Pivetta is he's a lot better versus righties than he is lefties. So you kind of have to take that into consideration when building a lineup. But the same suspect guys here. Obviously, we have Conforto, who always profiles really well, the same as Robinson Cano. They're definitely a little bit too cheap, especially on DraftKings, I believe. Looking on FanDuel, Conforto is 3,800. Cano is 2,700, which is pretty outrageously low priced. I'm not sure what the site was thinking, but at 2,700, probably batting third, I really, really do like Cano here, especially versus Pivetta, who, as I said before, really, really struggles versus lefties. So there you go. That's pretty much what I'm interested in is Cano. I'm probably going to have him in the majority of my lineups and will be making optimals, just because you have to sometimes price enforce things, even if you're not particularly interested in the game. Stuff like that, it's just too cheap. And I just pulled up his DraftKings price. He's only 3,000. Again, that's just way too cheap for a guy of his caliber. Looking at the second game, we have Texas at Detroit. This game has a 8.5 total. My projections and my simulations have around the same total as well, exactly 8.5 actually. Mike Minor versus Matt Boyd. Look, both these guys have pitched extremely well this season. I don't really have any interest in picking on any of these dudes. I guess the only thing that would merit really picking these guys would probably just be ownership and the weather. It's going to be 86 degrees with the wind 10 miles per hour blowing northwest. So obviously that's, you know, exceptional hitting conditions. But looking at just the way Matt Boyd's been pitching, he's averaging 30% K rate to both sides of the plate, really low fly ball rate, extremely high ground ball rate. He's better versus lefties than he is righties. But overall, looking at this Rangers lineup versus left-handed pitching, they all have an extremely high K rate. And really, the only guy who's the only two guys that have had pretty low K rates have been Struble Cabrera and Elvis Andres. But other than that, there's really nobody else I'm interested in. And I'm probably not going to be rostering Texas. In fact, I might be rostering Boyd in tournaments and possibly cash, just because he is projecting as the top overall scoring pitcher for the slate. So definitely won't be interested in Texas bats. Looking at Mike Minor, another guy that's improved his pitching this year substantially. He's definitely found his stuff. He's starting to throw his changeup, I believe, a little bit more, and it's his off-speed stuff's definitely helping him. Looking at his numbers as well, he's been really good versus lefties. He's been considerably worse versus righties. He's got still a high K rate at 24% on both sides of the plate. But looking at the bats, though, I do have Castellanos, who for some reason I always end up rostering this guy, but and he doesn't perform most of the time. But the way he's profiling today, especially even if as a one-off, a very low-owned one-off, he only has 11% K rate versus lefties, a 50% hard contact rate, a 382 wOBA, and 233 ISO. Listen, he's cheap. And I believe he's only 3,700 on DraftKings, which is actually really cheap for what he can do. And a lot of the times, as I said before, for Cano, price enforcing is a thing. And I do think he may make a couple lineups, and the ownership is so low that it really does make it a really nice one-off if he's able to bang one out here versus Minor. Looking at the rest of the lineup, I'm not really interested at all. I mean, you could probably play Miguel Cabrera if you really wanted to. Other than that, I'm not really interested in these guys. I think there's better spots on this slate, and I really don't think you need to be stacking against Mike Minor, who's, as I said, he's improved his pitching tenfold here, so. Looking at the third game, we have Washington versus Miami. This is going to be, I think, going to be driving a lot of ownership to Corbin here. And I like it because, like I said, I really like Matt Boyd. I think he has a much better chance of scoring a higher total than Corbin just because of his strikeout rate. Looking at Corbin, he's been up and down, kind of like Sale this year. He either dominates games or he just, for some reason, just blows up, and maybe it's a mental thing or whatever it may be. Either way, he's pitching in Marlins Park, which obviously is a really good pitcher's park. And he's facing Miami, who we all know is the worst hitting team in baseball. But with that being said, looking at his numbers, He has elite numbers versus lefties, an outrageous 37% K rate versus lefties. His righties numbers, substantially lower, like he 23% K rate, a fly ball rate of 35%, but still a ground ball rate of 48%. So, as I said before, he's a great play. He's going to absorb the most ownership on the entire slate. It's warranted. But I do really like Matt Boyd for the $400 discount on DraftKings, or on FanDuel, sorry. And on DraftKings, he is, let me see, he is $600 more expensive than Matt Boyd as well. So definitely think he's a good play. But in my personal opinion, I think I'm going to be siding with Matt Boyd here. And either way, I'm not interested in any of the Marlins bats. Looking on the other side, we have Zach Gallen, and I get it. He's, you know, somebody relatively unknown, and I'm not sure people are going to be stacking the Nationals here, but at the same time, it's worth a shot in GPPs. He had his pitch count was 99. He pitched 5 innings in his last game versus the Cardinals, so he can definitely go deep into games. He's 7,800 on FanDuel. Definitely, you know, if you want to take a shot, it's viable. He's 7,100 on DraftKings. I think he's definitely more playable there if you're going to pair him with Boyd or Corbin. You can definitely stack this your pitchers in this game. Definitely one of the better pitchers parks. I wouldn't blame you. With that being said, not interested in Nationals either. I just think in this slate, there's much better spots than to be targeting any Nationals here. If you really wanted, obviously, you have the big bats like Rendon and the those other guys, Soto, who you can play against him, but not for me. Looking at Oakland and Seattle, we have a 9.5 total. I have this game going under. It's Daniel Mengden versus Adam Wainwright. Two guys who are kind of middle-tier pitchers. Not really an exciting game for DFS purposes, not even for pitching. I'm just not really that excited about it. Wainwright is really cheap on DraftKings, and I believe on FanDuel he is 7,500. So yeah, he's priced pretty fair on both sites. Looking at his numbers though, Wainwright has been like really bad versus lefties. He only has a 15% K rate with a 45% hard contact rate. So obviously guys, switch hitters like Profar or guys like Matt Olson and basically any lefty profile really well. They can definitely bang one out. He has a 5x FIP or 5.07 if you want to be exact. Looking at the righties, he's a lot better versus righties, like really good versus righties, a 50% ground ball rate. So definitely not something you want to target there. But as I said, I like Olson. I do like Profar if you're going to be picking a couple one-offs. If you're going to stack it, just try and stack the righties. You got to wait for the lineup to come out. But other than that, I'm not really interested. Looking at Daniel Mengden as well, he's 6,200 on FanDuel. Definitely for GPPs, he's viable if you want to run a GPP line out there with just heavy batters. Looking at him on DraftKings, he's 6,900. Now, the thing with Mengden is he's really, really bad versus lefties here. 6.68 XFIP, and balls are flying out of the park with him for some reason. Well, not for some reason. He's not an elite pitcher. He's not very good. So definitely guys like Carpenter, who I know has been absolutely horrific this year. Just give the guy a chance. He's probably going to be leadoff. And hey, you never know. He might actually make value today. Obviously, other lefties here, you got Colton Wong, who is always sneaky. He's always severely underowned just because he's always batting 7th or 8th in the order. And, yeah, definitely a guy you could be looking at. So moving on to Atlanta and Chicago here, we have Yu Darvish versus Dallas Keuchel. And Yu Darvish has been a little bit better this year, especially versus right-handed hitting. He's got a really high K rate. But versus lefties, he still struggles. He has a pretty high walk rate as well and a 25% home run to fly ball rate. The total in this game is a 9.5. I have it at 10.5, favoring Atlanta. Looking at Atlanta bats here, everybody profiles really, really well, especially guys like Freddie Freeman, who have an outrageous 7.05 wOBA to ISO with a 16% K rate and a 55.9% hard contact rate. He's a really, really good play. Especially guys as well like Albies and Acuna and, yes, Josh Donaldson. As much as I hate playing this guy, he's always profiling well. And one of these days, he's going to hit a baseball for us and it's going to pay. So up until that day happens, he's still horrible and he sucks, but he profiles well. So I'll give him that. Looking at the other side of this thing, we have Dallas Keuchel. So, you know, good for him that he's back now. And, you know, looking at these Chicago bats, there's definitely a path for him to have a good game. And there's also a path for him to have a really bad game. You know, obviously, they have some heavy hitters in here, like Rizzo and Bryant and Schwarber, sorry. But overall, I'm not totally excited about it. I know in my simulations, the team total is 5 for Chicago, and I get it. But as I said, I'm not overly excited about it. And looking at his numbers, just at a quick glance, last year's numbers, because he's only pitched, I think, one game this year. Last year, he only had a 16% K rate to right-handed pitching, but a 51.8% ground ball rate, so it's really hard for him to give up home runs. And versus lefties, he just has really elite numbers. A 60% ground ball rate, a 14% fly ball rate, and an xFIP of only 2.59. So overall, I'm not really interested in targeting guys against him. And his price in the industry is actually really fair. He's only 8,000 on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, he is 6,900, which is insane. Like, at that price, at 6,900, I may play him in cash just because he's just too cheap. I know his K rate is garbage. He's not a strike zone type of pitcher. I get that. But in terms of, you know, him being able to get you 6 innings and not give up home runs, he's definitely in a prime position to do so. So I think if you take that into consideration, it's definitely more viable to play him. But that's really all I got for that game. Looking at the Reds versus LA, or the Angels, sorry. Jamie Barria versus Tanner Roark. And Tanner Roark, I really like targeting left-handed hitters versus Roark. He has a really bad 6.26 xFIP. He struggles really, really like a lot versus lefties. And who do the Angels have? Mr. Mike Trout, the best hitter in baseball. And literally looks like Barry Bonds out there because people just don't want to pitch to the guy because he's just so good. And you're going to have to play him today. Even if you don't want to play Angels, you're going to have to play Mike Trout. Anybody who's not playing Mike Trout today, I think it's a mistake. I know he's expensive, but I'm telling you, he's going to bang one out off of this guy. And you're going to regret not having him when he goes for 2 home runs or a cycle or whatever he is that he does, that he's good at everything. So, but looking at the rest of his lineup, you know, Cole Calhoun profiles really, really well. Tommy LaStella profiles extremely well. All these guys have a plus 600 wOBA plus ISO versus right-handed pitching. So really, all in all, this profile is like a really bad game for Tanner Roark. For some reason, I'm looking at the spread here. The Cincinnati Reds are favored. I'm definitely going to be betting the Angels on the run line, the win, and the over. You get a plus 70 payout here on the run line. Sorry, guys. That's just really good value. Looking at the other side, we have, well, Jamie Barria. And again, not a good pitcher versus a really disciplined Cincinnati Reds team. They're really hard to strike out. And definitely not a team I want to pick on with a pitcher. His numbers versus lefties have been phenomenal. He's really good versus lefties. The problem is they don't really have that many lefties. They have a ton of righties. Well, I shouldn't say that. They have Winker and they have Dietrich and a couple other guys. But versus righties, whoa. Barrio's been bad. Almost a 7 xFIP, a 48.8% fly ball rate, a 44.2% hard contact rate. And I'm looking at Suarez, Puig, Iglesias, and all these guys that are, you know, power hitters. And there's not enough ownership that ever goes to Suarez for some reason. I think that's a mistake today. There's definitely some pieces on both sides of the ball that I like. So those are my thoughts there. Looking at the last three games here, though, we got Seattle versus Milwaukee. Matt Caracciti versus Adrian Hauser. I think both of them are just openers for the game. I believe Wade LeBlanc will be taking over for Matt Caracciti, and I'm not sure. I can't see who's taken out for Hauser. I'm looking now, but either way, Wade LeBlanc is really, really bad, and Milwaukee has a good bullpen. So just based on that, I'm not interested in Seattle at all, except for like maybe Vogelbach, just because him and Santana are their only two good hitters left on that team. And looking at Wade LeBlanc, I love picking on Wade LeBlanc, especially when you have the Brewers, who are just really, really good. And there's really nobody that's a bad play versus Wade LeBlanc here. But looking at the batters that they do have, I would definitely side with Yasmani Grandal. Sorry. He's projected to bat first. He's really, really cheap across the industry. I believe on DraftKings on FanDuel he is $3,400. That's just too cheap for a guy of his caliber, and on DraftKings he's $5,000. So on FanDuel he's just way too cheap. You're probably gonna have to play him everywhere, especially in your cash games. I definitely like the other pieces that they have. You know, Orlando Arcia is a guy who always bats 7 or 8. He's always single digit ownership, but he's got a ton of power. Really like him versus LeBlanc. You have Lorenzo Cain as well, and even the lefty on lefty, Christian Yelich. I understand that it's lefty on lefty, and that's why I like him. He's such a good hitter. I don't think it really matters if it's lefty or righty for him. He's gonna smack it out of the ballpark anyways. Going back to Lorenzo Cain, there's a chance he doesn't play. I think it's his thumb or something like that. So just keep an eye on that. If he does, though, he is $2,900. So definitely viable there. I'm trying to see if I really like anybody else here on Milwaukee. Obviously, you have Ryan Braun, who you can play. Yeah, the rest, they have so many lefties here versus LeBlanc, like Shaw and Thames and Moustakas. Definitely don't mind them, but as I said before, I think Arcia and Braun, Yelich, and those other guys are definitely projecting a lot better than the lefty on lefty here, apart from Yelich. Looking at the second last game, we have the Pirates versus Houston. I have Houston as the highest scoring team on the night. Part of that is because we have it's Framber Valdez, sorry if I butchered that one, versus Dario Agrazal, and they called him up. It's his first major league start, I believe, and really not a good team to be doing your first start against. Obviously, looking at this Houston lineup, there's a ton of power, and I know they're missing some key pieces here, but guys like George Springer, obviously popping right off the charts, and you have Jordan Alvarez, who seems to be healthy. He's not injured. I think he slid awkwardly or he got hit or something. I don't know. I forget already, but you still have Bregman and Brantley, and Altuve's back, so they're getting healthy. I expect a ton of runs to be put up here, so definitely roster this any way you want. The wraparound stack is great because they're cheap. Chirinos and Reddick, they're all really, really cheap, especially on FanDuel. Looking at the other side here, we have Framber Valdez, who surprisingly he's had some pretty good outings. His numbers have been good versus lefties and good versus righties. If there's going to be one guy I picked on the Pirates, it's obviously going to be Josh Bell. He has a 50% hard contact rate with a 660 wOBA. Definitely profiles really well. He's going to be batting cleanup. But other than that, I'm really not too excited about it. I'm definitely going to just probably be stacking Houston and be pairing them with Milwaukee or some pieces from the Reds game. Moving on to the last game of this MLB slate, Tampa Bay at Minnesota. Vegas has this at a 9 total. I have it at 10.8, and I have it dead even at 5.4 team total for each team here, which is odd because it's Charlie Morton and Jake Odorizzi. But I do think there's a lot of regression coming for these guys. Morton has been pitching out of his mind, and looking at Jake Odorizzi as well, I just think they're really overperforming, and Tampa Bay and Minnesota are two really good hitting teams with a ton of power. We'll start with Morton here. He has a 3.42 xFIP to lefties and a 3.28 to righties, but looking at these Twins, they just profile really, really well. You have Rosario and Polanco, who have an under 13% K rate. Kepler is right there with 16. They all have a 698, a 694, and 595. These are their wOBA plus ISOs versus righties. So I really do think there's going to be some big progression or negative regression for Charlie Morton. And I'm interested. I'm interested in just the GPP side of it, because ownership's going to be so not in this game. It's going to be completely skewed towards probably Milwaukee, Houston, and that Angels game. And a lot of people might be flocking to that Cubs game as well, just because it's Wrigley Field and there's a little bit of wind. Looking at Odorizzi, his K rate has been phenomenal versus lefties. Obviously, Tampa Bay has a couple lefties here. But versus righties, his fly ball rate, and even his fly ball rate versus lefties, almost at 50% on both sides of the field. That's not good versus power hitters like Tommy Pham. Like he's a power hitter. Austin Meadows, even Brandon Lowe, who strikes out at a 30% clip. If he gets a hold of one, it's probably going to go out of the park. So I do like the Tampa Bay Rays here as a contrarian stack. I don't think anybody's going to go here. And Jake Odorizzi has made a name for himself this year, but I don't think he's a good pitcher. So, yeah. That concludes the baseball. Took a little longer than I wanted, but that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm going to talk over really quick about soccer. It's just a two-game slate for the Gold Cup. We have Trinidad and Tobago versus Guyana, and we have Panama versus United States. I'll start with the U.S. here versus Panama. Obviously, they're really heavy favorites, and they should score at least 3-4 goals. I'm just looking at the odds right now for these games. The U.S. Is favored by minus 240, and Trinidad and Tobago is favored by minus 135. The over-under is 2.5 for the U.S. versus Panama, and 3.5 over-under for Trinidad and Tobago. Now, I did just say I think the U.S. scores 3-4 goals. With that being said, I do like betting the over here. It's paying minus 125, which is actually still pretty good value, and I do like that. Looking at kind of the players that I'm interested in, the American team has been pretty consistent about who they're fielding out there. So when I'm looking at this thing, obviously guys like Pulisic and Zardes and Areola, all these guys have been really, really productive. Even if you take away the goal here for a guy like Areola, he still has a really nice floor, same as Pulisic. And the one guy would be Zardes, I suppose. If you were to remove the goals he scored, he'd be a pretty poor fantasy player. And looking at some other guys, you have Tyler Boyd, who obviously has been on fire for the American team. And the list goes on and on and on. I'm kind of hoping at some point they start Jozy Altidore. I really like him. He's a really good player, and they're not giving him any time. So if he does start, I think it's really important that you play him. For cash games, Weston McKennie is probably your lock. He's too cheap. He has a really high floor. He does a little bit of everything. He defends, he blocks, he creates chances, and he can get an assist at any given time. Not so much a goal scorer, but definitely a setup man for their team. Looking at the other side here in Panama, I'm not really interested per se on any of their forwards, and not really interested in their defenders except for Eric Davis. He's expensive though, and you're going to have to pay up for him, but I do think he's really viable in cash. They're going to be busy. Maybe Fidel Escobar as well. The thing is you're giving up the clean sheet, obviously, but if you feel that they're going to outscore some other defenders from the Trinidad and Tobago game, then by all means roster them. But as I said, I think it's going to be tough to roster them because they are expensive, and you're going to want the strikers from the American side. So you're going to have to decide if you want Trinidad and Tobago strikers or you want American strikers, and that'll kind of make up your lineup for your defenders. Looking at the second game, Trinidad and Tobago versus Guyana, much higher team total. The thing is I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the total and I'm trying to ask myself, okay, who are the guys that are going to score for Tobago? And it's tough to say, right? You're looking at this thing. You have Highland, who should have already had a couple goals in this tournament, and he hasn't. But he's in a price point where I think he's definitely viable to roster. I just don't know if he makes the team. His odds to score are pretty good. They're higher than McKinney's on the men's side, but the thing about McKennie is he just has a much better floor, and that's, I think, going to dictate a lot of where your roster construction is going to go. If I had to pick a guy, I like Kevin George for them. He's a really active player for them, and I think he has a really good chance of finding the back of the net. Looking at Guyana, I don't care about anybody on this team. They're really just not a good team. I don't expect it to be an exciting game. It should be pretty one-sided. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to roster anybody from here. I'm probably going to have Tobago, Panama, and USA. But other than that, that's it, guys. I really don't think you have to get too complicated here, too cute. Just roster the right strikers. Definitely roster a couple Americans, and I think you'll be in good shape. And roster the Tobago goalie because he's cheaper. And I think you're going to need all the strikers you can have to be able to take one of these things down. But thank you so much for listening. How long has this thing been? Where am I at here? 35 minutes. Woo. Damn. Wow. Okay. So thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Inertia Force DFS. On Instagram, Inertia Force Sports. Join the website if you're not a member. Check us out at InertiaForceSports.com. And may the sports be with you. Laters.